Well, isn't this a wonderful day? Wow, it's kind of like a homecoming. And hearing the wonderful history of the church, what the Lord has done, we could say with the psalmist, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Amen. Amen. I used to have a lady in my church that inspired me. She bothered some people because she'd get happy, and I'd always make room for her to get happy. And I'd hear she'd start, her name was Clarice. She'd start out, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And you might get a little further in a song or two, and it wouldn't be long till you'd hear her say, "Lord, you brought me a mighty long ways." That's what I think about today, Pastor. God's brought us a mighty long ways, and how grateful we are. And I just think it would be good to express our appreciation of the pastor and staff for all the work that they have gone to bring us this. I've just never seen it put together better than this. Could we just express our appreciation to them? Thank you all. Thank you all so much. Thank you all so much. And I too, like your pastor, am I love to hold on to the past, and it's very important to me where I've come from. And I don't want to live in the past, but I love to remember what the Lord has done for us. And one of the joys that I get as the pastor of this district is to join with churches on occasions such as this, and share with them a memory that they can place in their church and their wall or wherever. I call them a stone to help you remember what the Lord has done. And in the years to come, should Jesus tarry, your children, grandchildren can look back and say, "My mom and dad was there on that day when that happened." So, Pastor, I'd love for you to come and your sweet wife, and let me make a presentation here from our district to you. We're grateful. I was just thinking of all the pastors, 10, 12, I didn't count them. They've all been fellows who love this fellowship and who kept this church involved. And some of our churches, they don't have a clue we have a family camp. They don't know about our kids' camp. Their pastor doesn't share this with them. And your pastors down through the years have loved this fellowship and have kept you involved. And you have supported this fellowship in so many aspects. And none is probably more devoted than your present pastor today. So it gives me great joy on behalf of the South Texas District Council to convey our congratulations to the congregation of Glad Tidings Assembly of God in Houston, Texas, and to Pastor and Mrs. Calvin Durham on this occasion of your 75th anniversary of the church, January 11, 2009. And may the Lord continue to bless your ministry with fruit for his kingdom, is my prayer. Could I give you this? Beautiful. Congratulations. And for such a time as this, God has let y'all be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look what the Lord has done. Lord, you brought us a mighty long ways. And someone wrote us a song that says, "He hasn't brought us this far to leave us. He hasn't taught us to swim to let us drown. He who hath begun a good work in you," the apostle said, "will perform it unto the day of the Lord." Our job is not performing. Our job is abiding, as we abide in him. His words abide in us. He said he will perform that good work in you. And don't you look forward to becoming everything the Lord saved you for and called you to be. If I thought he was finished with me now, I'd be disappointed. Some of the joy I have in life makes me want to get up is what he's going to do today and what he's going to allow me to do or what he would maybe do through me. And I just feel so honored today to be with y'all. So many of the sweet testimonies that were shared presentations here, this was just awesome. I did not know Mother Hayes. I knew of her. But George Hayes, I knew him in the respect of being in a service where he was preaching when I was not a Christian. I was a backslider. And he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. He was very direct, but he was also a very compassionate man and a very discerning man. And it was in the North Side Assembly years ago when Brother Sister Amos pastored there that I was visiting there, Carol and I, with a couple friends of ours. And at the close of that message, after an invitation, and my wife and the lady had gone forward, and this other guy and myself sit back, and Brother Hayes came back to speak to us about our souls. I'll never forget that. I have never resented that. I appreciate that. And he told me, he said, "Son, you've been raised in Pentecost, haven't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Could I pray with you?" And you know, I wanted to go, but I didn't. I wish I had him. But I'll never forget his compassion. Let me just tell you something. That's what Jesus came for. That's what he came for, is that the sinner may have a Savior. And there are a lot of things that we spend time on that they're not the main thing. I'm just telling you. But boy, when it comes to the lost souls, he came not to minister, but he came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom. His enemies seeking to discredit him made one of the greatest statements. Said this man receives sinners, trying to discredit him. And I'm so glad that he does. And he left the 99 and went and searched for the one that was lost. And I was one of those at one time. And I'm so glad that he sought till he found me. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. I didn't respond the first time. I should have. You know, anybody knows a good deal ought to know that's the best deal ever happened to you, to trade your sins for salvation and hell for heaven. That ought not be in peace for turmoil. But I didn't. But I'm so glad he sought till he found me. And with love, he bound me, put his arms around me, and led me back to the shelter, led me back to the fold. I'm so glad today. I'm so glad today I'm on the inside looking up, outside looking in. Amen. 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 Well, Pastor, there's been a lot of reminiscing here today, and I'm going to, if I may, just kindly flow along with that and share with you a time in our life when it was in 1953 when we moved to Houston. And my times were difficult in our family. Mom and Dad were sick, and they had just resigned a church up in the East Texas, and had come down and were kind of broken, and times were just probably, it's probably one of the most difficult times of our life and our family. And Mom wanted to looking for somewhere to stay, and Mom found a house on Enid Street. Dad was in the hospital and recovering from surgery, and Mom found this house. It was 605 Enid. It was about three blocks down from the church. And she wanted another place, and this lady, it was a duplex, and she rented out one side, and her husband was a day sleeper, and Mama said, "Jody, you could be quiet, couldn't you?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I don't think." But I look back and see the Lord was in this, because he put us right down the street from the church. Isn't it wonderful to look back and see how God affected your life when you was a tow-headed kid? I bet you when Mama got me out in that car, I bet you she pulled my ear, don't you? And we began to attend the church, and Ben Marie Talbot attended there, and they had invited us, and we met Brother and Sister Manley, and I think, Grady, probably then you were away at Bible school. I'm not sure at that time. And I remember Ellis, but I remember Boyd Dean more than I remembered either one of the guys. She's a little younger than me, but she sure was a beautiful girl, had a beautiful voice, very gifted. And we had a wonderful time there. It was just a couple of years that we were there, and Dad in 55 went accepted a pastor again, and we moved on. But those were some years. And I remember the church being such a powerful church, just an awesome church. You, when you left there, you knew the God of Israel had met with you. And let me tell you something, kids know we're in the presence of the Lord at the church or not. And I remember the beautiful singing and the beautiful music. Sister Manley was such a gifted musician, and they all sang together. I remember the Meeks family. That's where I met the Meeks family, Cliff and Bernice. And then there became a friends of a lifetime of us. And the church really impacted our life. It was not only a good singing church, a good preaching church. It was a wonderful, compassionate church, because we were hurting, and we needed acceptance and love. And that's what most people need when they come to church, is they need, it's usually something that brings them, and they need. And this church put their arms around us. Your dad invited my dad on several occasions to minister in the church. Just took us in and loved us. I will always be grateful. And any time that I get to come to Glad Tidings, Pastor, there's something about me. It's like it's part of my past. It's part of home. It's part of people who poured oil in my wounds when I was beside the road. And my family, when they were hurting, and Dad and Mom were encouraged, and wasn't long till they were back pastoring again. And how we thank the Lord for this church. What a blessing. And then other pastors you've had. Pastor Akers was just one of my dearest friends. And then Brother Schultz came along, and then Brother Durham came along. Brother Durham and I have been friends for almost as long as I can remember the ministry, probably 40 years or more. And how it thrills me to see what the Lord's doing here. And he tells me from time to time, he's good PR for this church. I'm just telling you. He keeps me posted. I get the newsletter. I get to keep up with y'all. And it's wonderful as a district superintendent to have churches that all they bring you is good reports. I'll just tell you. And we just thank the Lord for this. And Carol and I are just honored to be here on this wonderful day with you. Probably, I mentioned Boy Dean, the pretty girl, the baker, Pam. There was a lot more. I can't remember the guy's name, but I remember the girl's name. And the three notes, when Carol and I were pastoring Magnolia, Sister Manley brought them out to revival. They sang the house down. I'll tell you, I still wish I had one of their albums. They had a song on there, "You Can't Beat God Given, No Matter How Hard You Try." And I love those ladies. And they've gone on and been pastors' wives and et cetera. So Brother and Sister Manley didn't just pastor a church. They mentored preachers and people to work for God. And how we thank the Lord for this great church. But probably the person that probably touched my life the most uniquely in the church was my Sunday school teacher. And I'm a believer in Sunday school, and we can kind of hide in a large crowd, but you get in a small setting and group, you get to discover and love people. And my Sunday school teacher was Stan Pace. I was a junior boy, and you know, everybody stands in line wanting to teach the junior boy class. And Stan is here this morning. Stan, why don't you stand up? Would you do so? Would you give him a hand for me? Thank you. Thank you so much for the part you played in my life at a very critical time. So Sunday school teacher, you're doing a lot more. I imagine he went home several times frustrated and felt like he probably wasn't accomplishing a whole lot. But let me just tell you, the good book is seed that does not return void. And I've preached about you, Stan, many times, and tried to encourage the church workers. You know, most of y'all don't have a problem with conceit. Most of y'all have problems with feeling like you don't really amount or count. And let me tell you, in the body, everybody is somebody. Amen. And if you're telling the good news, well, you stay on the wall because you're doing a good work, because it's God's work. And don't ever let the devil get you down. I guess Brother Calvin, knowing statistics and pastoring for a number of years myself and growing older in life myself, the thing that concerns me is that we do not live in the past, that we remember the past, enjoy the past, but I don't ever want to forget that there's a neighborhood around this church who needs Jesus so desperately. And just as we were down three or four blocks from the church, there wasn't a family in that community that needed the love and the arms and the compassion of the church more than the Granberry family did. And it helped us through a difficult time. And I'll be forever, ever grateful to God. And as I mentioned, there was a few years I was out of fellowship with God, and I'm the loser. I was so foolish. I don't have any excuses or anyone to blame. It was just something I allowed to happen gradually, and I got away from the Lord, and I moved on Tidwell Street between Fulton and Irvington, between Fulton and Airline, and it was a little humble home, and two doors down from us was a church, and every evening when the sun set in the west, the shadow of that steeple would come across my home. And there I was, there we were, a young couple. Carolyn went to church, but I didn't. Had three little boys, needed Jesus more than anything in this world. And nobody ever knocked on our door and invited us to church. You say, well, you shouldn't need that. That's true, I shouldn't, but I did. And I just need a little encouragement. I need a little help. You see, when you've tried and failed, you kind of wonder if you could ever be a Christian when you've tried and failed it so many times. And I never was hard-hearted. I never was against the church. I always loved the Lord. I just had a problem with, I could resist anything but temptation. And the devil knew my weaknesses. And I did not want to be a hypocrite, so I quit trying. And I needed somebody to tell me that if you'll get up one more time than you fall, you're on your feet. I just needed a little encouragement, and God allowed that. I visited on an Easter Sunday. When these folks come in here on Easter, don't ever tell them you'll see them Christmas. Have confidence in the power of the Word of God. And I went on Easter Sunday morning and visited Burbank Assembly right around the corner from the house. And that Monday night, that pastor and his wife and a young couple in that church came and knocked on our door and showed some interest in my soul. And I needed that. I needed that. And guess where I was the next Sunday? I was back in church. And the next Sunday, I was back in church. And the next Sunday, I was back in church. And the next Sunday night at the close of the service, when everyone had gone, I waited until everyone was gone, and I'd raised my hand for prayer. That was a big step. And when everybody kind of gone, I went out the door, and I told Pastor Burrs, I said, I really meant that tonight when I raised my hand. And I said, I used to couldn't sit through a church service. I was so tender, but I said, I've got where now it's, God doesn't deal with me like it used to, and it's scary. And I really, and tears was running down my cheek. I was 21 years old. He said, well, Joe, can I pray with you? And he and I said, I would love to. So, Pastor, don't ever quit fishing, you know, just because you've dismissed a service. Amen. That back door, he was still fishing. And And it's the greatest decision I ever made. And I remember going and kneeling right in the corner of the front pew. And about all I could say is, Lord, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And I remember thinking, I'm not sure I said this, but I remember thinking, I may not can live for you. And my thought was the way my wife did. Carolyn was a beautiful Christian, and my mother and daddy were wonderful Christians. You know, they were 24/7. And I just never could live that good a life. I said, I may not can live for you, but I can't live without you. And I've learned that when you can't live without him, it's not hard to live for him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Could you say amen? So here I am. That was in 1963 and this is 69. This is, how many years? Have a calculator here. 40-something years down the road. And this morning my testimony is I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Amen. Every day is a miracle and every day is a wonderful opportunity to live and serve the King. So I would love to just admonish you, Pastor, and I'll come back sometime and preach, but I'd love to just admonish the church. Just don't forget a little Joe and Carolyn that lives a couple of doors down from the church, or the Granberry family that lives 2 or 3 blocks down the road. This community is filled with families and with people who need the love and the compassion and the nurturing and care of this church. And I just pray that you will continue to be fervent in spirit. I'd love to just read a verse or two out of Romans 12. He said, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another and prefer one another above yourselves. And listen to this, never lack in zeal. Never lack in zeal. This is kind of what I want to come to you this morning. Never lack in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. You remember when you got saved? You never heard a bad sermon. You never heard a bad song. You couldn't wait from Sunday morning till Sunday night. I'd go home and study my Sunday school lesson Sunday evening for next Sunday. Just so hungry for God. And then couldn't wait for Wednesday night. I wore a suit to church on Wednesday night. I'll tell you, I was so happy to be saved. I was going to my Father's house. I was going to the King's house. I wore a suit to church on Wednesday night. I want to tell you something. And from Wednesday to Sunday, I thought would never get there. Just, I don't ever want to lose that love for God's house and God's Word and for people. Carol and I sat and figured it up one day. And I hope this is not misunderstood, but I gave my life to the Lord on May the 5th of 63 and August the 1st of 65. We went to pastoring, so I was only there just a little window of time. But Carol, I counted another day of 17 families that God helped us to win or help get back in church for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about being fervent in spirit. I'll tell you, when I committed my life to Jesus, I want to tell you, I told everybody. They knew about it on the job. They knew about it wherever I went. I'd stop at the filling station, and the boys say, "Daddy, Daddy, please don't visit everybody here." Well, you got to open doors to share your faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have a Sunday school contest. It wasn't even a contest. Carol and I was going to win it. I'll tell you, I was doing my best to make up for lost time. I was fervent in spirit, and I've tried to maintain that in my heart and soul and life. We may have to change our methods, but we never compromise the message, and don't ever lose your fervor as a church. Be fervent in spirit. We don't need a Laodicean church. It was only like 65 years A.D. that letter was written to them, and they had some serious crisis in their life. And God challenged them in love to buy gold tried in the fire, a faith that is pure, to be clothed with righteousness and to have their eyes anointed with eyesight. We must constantly pursue righteousness and faith and stay filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can maintain the zeal and not become a lukewarm, indifferent, compromising church, but be zealous be zealous for the Lord. Listen, anything don't cost you something, it's not worth much. But if it costs you something, well, you'll treasure it in your life. And let's finish what we started with. Let's maintain zeal to the boiling point. Let's stay fervent in spirit. Let's stay compassionate. Let's remember the pit that God dug us out of. And David said it was a horrible pit. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Speaking of bondages, what I wanted to do, I couldn't do. What I didn't want to do, I did. And that's where a lot of people are today. They would love to be free. They would love to serve the Lord, but they have sold themselves and become enslaved to sin and bondages and habits and addictions. But I want to tell you, I know one who came to set the captive free, and we need to tell them about it. You don't have to live that way, and you sure don't have to die that way. God has a better life. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll be faithful and just to cleanse you, to forgive you, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and give you a life worth living. Rahab, the most unlikely person on earth to become the first recipient of salvation in the city of Jericho. Rahab the harlot is known. Rahab the harlot became a recipient of salvation. The most unlikely person. Man, that's the kind of folks you need to go after, is those who realize they need the Lord. You know, folks that are up and out, they're still out. But folks that are down and out usually recognize their need of life. And God saved her and her family. And didn't just save her and forgive her. He gave her a life. You read the scriptures and she's a great grandmother of King David and in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to save them, restore them, and give them a life. And I just pray we never lose our knowledge, our memory of where we were when the Lord reached down His hand and saved us. My pastor as a little boy was Robert Hankins, and Brother Hankins used to sing that old song, "When He Reached Down His Hand for Me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son, and He reached down His hand for me." There's some Joe Granberries in this community, some folks, some families, some young couples that need the Lord. Don't you get over here and get sanctified and petrified and comfortable and looking forward to heaven when there's folks around you dying and going to hell. And you don't you ever lose your compassion for lost souls, and you don't ever know who these little ruddy kids are that come into your Ranger and girls programs, and God has a plan and purpose for their life, and you try to help them get this thing together. Let's don't let happen to Glad Tidings what happened to the Laodicean church. Let's stay fervent in spirit. And I feel like you are. I feel like you're on the right path. You know what they tell us? They tell us that the future of our fellowship is in church planting. And this is the statistics that I resent. And I have trouble receiving, but this is what I'm told. That in a new church plant, it takes 10 people to produce a convert. But in an old established church, it takes 80 people to produce a convert. And Pastor, I don't accept that. I don't intend that to happen on my watch. And what happens is people get saved and they forget the pit that God dug them out of. And they just gradually, it happens so gradually till you don't really know what happened, and you kind of have lost that tie with that part of the world. And I can see how this can happen. But I want to just tell you what. Don't forget there's a Joe Granberry in your neighborhood that needs Jesus. And as this church reached out to my family back in the 50s and loved us and brought healing and ministered to the needs of our life and helped us get back in the ministry, may God help you to continue to do that and reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ is my goal in prayer. Stay fervent in spirit, serving the Lord with gladness. May this church become everything. I'll tell you, when that pastor got to casting a vision this morning, I got excited about that new church out on Bengal Road. Amen. And why we're doing that is not to have a better building. It's that we may reach the lost and make room for those who need salvation. One of the brightest pictures in our district in the last year has been a little church out in Fields Store in Waller County. There's a couple by the name of Gene and Katie Johnson. Gene was a cattle buyer, and I have a few cows, and he'd bought me some cattle. And he was out of the Magnolia Church that we pastored, and we shared a friendship, and he told me, said he got his credentials, and he said, I've got a burden. I've raised out here in this area, and there's no church. We did not have an Assembly of God church in Waller County. Now, can you believe that? Can you believe that? And you're talking about a mission field. I said, you're talking about a mission field. And Houston is just moving this way. It's unreal, the projections of growth in this area. And we did not have an Assembly of God church. And when I pastored in Magnolia years before, there was not an Assembly of God church between me and Navasota and then Brenham. And I tried to send one of my associates out in that area, and he just didn't feel called of God to do that because we needed a church. And here Gene comes to me and says, I'd love to build a church out there. Would you pray with me about that? And I began to share with him my vision. And you had to put your money where your mouth is. And I said, our district will help you. We will partner with you. And last October, the 11th, I believe it was, Carol and I went out for their first year's anniversary. They've been there 1 year. They're in a tent, a big blue and a white tent on the corner of Kickapoo Road and 1488. I used to drive down Kickapoo Road to go visit Brother and Sister Yates when the roads were too bad for them to come to church. We'd go out there and take communion and serve them. And Carol and I drove up on that site. Lord, I just can't believe this. This is too good to be true. I drove up on that site, and there were ushers out there on horses. Their ushers were cowboys on horses, parking cars on horses. They'd have little buggies going out to the car and taking people riding into the tent. It was so unique. It was so wonderful. And that morning, 337 people gathered under that tent to celebrate their first anniversary of a church. In this past year, Gene says, we have had 96 conversions in this church, and we've had 46 people baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I forgot to ask them how many has been baptized in water. But it's just amazing what the Lord is doing and what the Lord has done. And we just had the most wonderful day, and I just thank the Lord for it so much. It was so precious. We went home, and I've challenged him, Gene, I want you to plant more churches out here. Just fill Waller County up with cowboy churches or any kind of church they'll come to help them know the Lord. And he called me, or I called him, I believe it was, the next week. And he said, it was a week after we had been there, and I told him what a good day we had, how much we enjoyed it. He said, you won't guess where I'm going. You can't guess where I'm going. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to a funeral. I said, and he said, you will not believe who it is. It's Cotton Goodson. The Goodson families, the Goodson Pontiac, all that family's from up in there, Pinehurst, Magnolia, that area. And Cotton Goodson, his family, some of his family attended my church, but I could never reach him for the Lord. Tell my seed sown comes up years later in your life. And here I am, I was out there in 65 through 68. Now I'm back out there in 2008, some 40 years later. And he said, let me just tell you what happened. He said, the Sunday morning that you were here in service, Cotton Goodson gave his life to Jesus. Isn't it amazing? I didn't even know it. He said he signed, one of the personal workers prayed with him and said he was just weeping in church, and she went back to him and prayed with him. Said he's been coming 4 or 5 months, but we never could get him to come forward. And last Sunday morning, he gave his life to Jesus and signed a card. And the following Saturday night, he passed away at the age of 82 years old. You're talking about getting in by grace. Amen. Getting in by grace. It's about souls, Pastor. It's about reaching the lost. Our buildings and facilities are just to accommodate and to do ministry in. But the church is not blocks and buildings and properties. The church is the people, is the souls. So go for souls. Stay fervent in spirit. It's my desire and prayer. Reach the lost. God has planted y'all here. You don't have to proselyte. There's nobody here close to y'all. You don't have to worry about proselyting. And I just pray that you will bloom and continue to bloom and grow and reach the lost for Jesus Christ and stay fervent in spirit, loving the lost, contending for Pentecost, amen, and listening for the trumpet to sound because Jesus is coming soon. And all the people said, amen, amen. Stand together with me and let's give Him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, may we never forget where You brought us from and how needed we were of the love and compassion and acceptance of the church and the forgiveness of Christ. Oh, lo sorrente biche l'alabasso. Lord, don't ever let us compromise or to become complacent or to become contented or to become comfortable. But help us, Lord, to stay fervent in spirit and zealous for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I must work while it's day because the night's coming when no man can work. Thank You for those who have labored before us going back to 1919. Thank You, Lord, for the foundation of prayer and of holiness and the preaching of the gospel in Pentecost that this church has had. And thank You for those who have served, not just in the pulpit, but have served in Sunday school and other areas of church. Thank You for those who have given that we may have this beautiful facilities in church. And thank You for those who made possible the church on Enid Street where me and my family found love and acceptance and healing and encouragement. Oh, bless Pastor Durham and his staff here. Oh, bless this church and this church family. Oh God, I pray. I just pray that You would encourage them today to become everything that You have saved us for and called us to be. Lord, when we get home, we'll sit down and rest, but we're not home yet. We're on the battlefield for the Lord. And help us to realize that there's souls at stake, and we must work while it is day, because the night is coming. When the trumpets sound, our opportunities for ministry will cease. And we want to be able to stand before You without anybody's blood on our hands. God, I pray for the Joe and Carolyns that live in the shadow of this church and in the surrounding areas, that You'll help us to reach them and help them find their way back home. And if they've never known You, to be born again, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And I thank You for the Sunday school teachers. Thank You for Stan Pace, who was patient and took time and spent time out of his life. Though he had a job and a family, he spent time with some junior boys and helped touch their life. We thank You for Christian education, our youth programs, our children's ministries, our boys' ministries, our girls' ministries, our women's ministries, our men's ministries. Thank You for the church. Lord, You love this church and gave Yourself for it. Help us to love it like You did and be willing to make whatever sacrifice. If You need our little donkey, we just want You to know it's Yours. Everything we have or ever shall have is because of Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your faithfulness to us. Hallelujah. God, if there's one who's kind of lost their zeal or fervor, I pray You'll stir them today. Stir them today. Paul wrote Timothy and told him to stir the gift. Even the ministry sometimes needs to be encouraged to stay fervent in spirit. He said, son, when I called, remember the unfeigned faith that was in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. I'm persuaded it's in you. Stir the gift of God. Stir the gift of God. Holy Ghost, stir us this morning. Stir us this morning, I pray. For you have not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love and of power and of a healthy sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like the Holy Spirit would just love where you're visiting or you're a member here. I feel like this would just be a wonderful time where you're standing to just present yourself again to God. Said, Lord, if you can use anybody, use me. Would you just today make a consecration of yourself, afresh and new to God, your family, God? God, I just want to present myself this morning afresh and anew to you. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is my reasonable service, and help me not to become comfortable nor conformed or feel at home in this world, but be renewed in my spirit and mind to know and fulfill the will and call and cause of Jesus Christ. Tell him this morning, lift your hands to him. That's a sign in any language of surrender. Lord, I surrender my life, my gifts, my talents, my resources, my time. I surrender today everything I have. Lord, I owe to you. I am a debtor. I am a debtor. I am a debtor. Lord, help me to some way, though I could never, some way repay those who've given and poured into my life. Love me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, if you can use anybody, use me. Tell him this morning, I challenge you to volunteer. That's what the prophet Isaiah did. He heard the voice of the Lord of Harvest, and he said, here I am. Here I am. Here, my Lord, send me. He didn't try to send somebody else. He didn't try to offer someone else. He offered himself, and God took him up on that offer, and he became one of the greatest prophets we know of today of the Old Testament. Let God take your life and use it. Give him your little loaves and fishes this morning. Let him break it and bless it and make it a blessing to the body of Christ. Yes, Lord, use me, God. The teenagers, there are kids in this service today that feel the tug of God for ministry on their heart. Affirm that to them this morning, or reaffirm it to them this morning, of your hand upon their life, your plans for their life. And I just pray, dear Lord, for Pastor in Beverly, that you would, Candace, you would continue to keep your hand heavily upon them. Bless, Lord, their home and their children, and bless their marriage. Oh, God, I pray. I just plead the blood of Jesus over them and their staff. And I pray you bless their ministry in this church, and may they lead it to higher heights and deeper depths. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.